I'm super excited by this. I think this is so cool. It's gonna, assuming that this pans out, and again, we're talking about a guy who figured out how to land a rocket on a boat. So I feel like it's doable. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we talk about Tesla's Master Plan, Part Deux, as it's called. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. They actually called it Part Deux.
Nice.
Didn't know I spoke French, did you?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, pretty good at it. Merci very much. This week, we're going to talk about Tesla's announcement of their second master plan. Their first master plan, people may know, was that they wanted to first release a very expensive, well, they wanted to start, Elon Musk said, I want to start a car company because I'm certifiably insane. And the plan was to create the, I think it's called the Roadster, the really expensive, fancy sports car one, and sell that for, is it in the hundred, I think it was in the hundreds, in the $100,000 range.
Aren't they all in the hundreds of thousands of dollar range?
This one was like, I want to say it was like 150 out of the box. And the idea was to take that money and use it to fund the Model S, which is the sedan, which is, starts at like 70,000.
Okay.
So it's kind of in the BMW range. I don't think anybody gets the base model. So most people I've talked to end up spending like 85 on them.
Okay, yeah, that's still less than I was thinking it was. I was woefully misinformed there, but it's still, that's a high end car.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's in competition with BMW and Audi, that kind of thing. And then they released the SUV, and now they've announced the Model 3, which is more in the range of like a Honda Accord in terms of MSRP. But I think when they interview Elon Musk, he usually argues that the total cost of ownership is much lower, though, because you never have to pay for gas.
Right.
Anyway, so that's sort of the affordable car. So now that they, they announced pre-orders for that, and they had like some crazy amount of pre-orders, like 100,000 pre-orders or something. And they said, okay, I guess it's time to release part two of the master plan. And this one is much more interesting now that they've kind of bootstrapped themselves into one of the two American car companies who haven't declared bankruptcy. There are only two, Ford and Tesla. Now they're like, okay, we've got this Gigafactory built, which is the largest footprint structure on planet Earth, I guess.
Nice.
Typical understated Musk fashion. First, I'm going to build the biggest building ever built. Then I'm going to land a rocket on a barge.
I think he subscribes to the philosophy that anything worth doing is worth overdoing. And some things that aren't worth doing are worth overdoing.
I'll say. Yeah, I would agree that he subscribes to that. I mean, this is a dude who literally has a plan to colonize Mars.
Yeah.
Like, no joke. So the Gigafactory seemed overdone, right? Like, okay, you have to make a lot of Model 3s, but really, does it really need to be that big? And so I think the part two explains why it's that big, which is that they're going to expand into all typical vehicle models. So they're going to offer trucks, like a pickup truck, and kind of a conversion, like a crossover SUV type of thing.
I'm sure they'll have a minivan available right about the time I get mine paid off.
That'd be nice. They kind of have an SUV that is their minivan competitor, the Model X, and it's got those like gullwing doors and stuff, and they definitely put it up against minivans in terms of who it's made for. Which is, I mean, the Model S is huge because there's no engine. So there's
Right.
like a third, so you've got a trunk in the front and you can have a third row of seats in the back. It's gigantic inside.
Right, yeah.
No drivetrain, on the
Yeah,
floor.
CR problem is not the interior amount of cargo space, it's the 6'4" driver.
Right. Yep. That'll do
But anyway.
But anyway, so what were all the, it was pickup trucks, it was crossover vehicle, semis.
Interesting.
So, and buses, so like city buses. And that's kind of like, I'm sure that has like GM and everybody running around like, you know, like chickens with their heads cut off. But what that amounts to is that they'll be able to address basically the entire consumer market for vehicles
that are all electric powered
and self-driving.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They do have self-driving technology.
Yep.
They're not quite at the Google level yet, are they, in terms of ability and accuracy?
So no, they're not, but it's interesting because Tesla is approaching it from I don't know if it's top down or bottom up, but they're attacking the problem from the reverse angle that Google is tackling it. And I've even seen Google engineers do presentations about their car, and they characterize it this way. They see it as completely different. Like, they want to create a car that's self-driving from the ground up, and Tesla's like, no, we're going to ease our way into it by making a car that's more and more, you know, self-driving. So it's like a regular car that has all the hardware that it needs to be self-driving, and we're going to slowly update the software. Yeah, so it gets safer and safer and safer and safer, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm the one that's causing the safety problems at this point, so maybe I should just turn autopilot all the way on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting approach.
Hmm. So in the plan, this is kind of mainstream thinking for people who are into autonomous vehicles, but he spells it out that they are literally going to have a situation, or this is what they're shooting for, that once the self-drive or the autonomy is 10 times better than human drivers, then they're going to remove the beta label, because right now they call it beta. And they're going to remove the beta label, and people will be able to, you know, whatever, read, sleep, do whatever they want, going from point A to point B. You'll be able to summon your car with a phone app, so you could, you know, go to a restaurant. Instead of valet parking your car, you just tell it to
send your car back home.
Yeah, you could either send it home, you could tell it to just drive around and look for a parking space, or, and apparently this is going to be part of Tesla's stack, you can rent it out. So that it can go drive other people around while you're at dinner and come back and pick you up later. And, you know, and so when you think about the total cost of ownership of a car that can be used as a taxi when you're not using it, it's like, geez, you know, 40 grand for a Model 3 is like not that big of an investment, you know, no gas and is making you money the 90% of the time when you're not actually using it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a big... not a big investment.
Yeah, I mean, like, who would buy a car that you can't, that can't drive around? Like, right? Like, once people are used to it, who would buy a regular car? It would be like buying a car without seatbelts in it.
Yeah.
It'd just be irresponsible.
You just wouldn't do it.
Irresponsible and more expensive. It'd be like enthusiasts who are like, you know, like Red Barchetta by Rush, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah, people, anyone who buys a non-self-driving car at that point, it's just going to be just because they want to. There's going to be no financial or technical or safety incentive to do so.
Yeah, it's like buying a manual transmission car, which I don't even know if you can still... I don't know if anybody even makes those anymore. But so there was a couple of funny things in the article. One was that the buses, they had to come up with a name for bus stops because you won't need them. It'd be like Uber, where you're just like, I need a bus, and the bus comes to get you. You know, or the nearest bus comes to get you and takes you somewhere and just drops you off. Maybe there'll be a route, but you can get on or off anywhere on the route.
Anywhere on the route, yeah.
And they said, oh, and, you know, and we thought of everything what did he call them? They're like fixed bus stops or stationary bus stops or something like that. That there'll be a button there that you could summon a bus so the bus wouldn't, you know, need to stop if you didn't need that particular bus.
Yeah.
It's just because someone was standing there. And you press the button, bus comes, you get on. There's no driver. I don't know how they'll be configured, but they described it in a way to make it sound like it made more efficient use of the space because there were so much less mechanical parts, so many fewer mechanical parts. But I just thought that was hilarious that the autonomy sort of removes the need for the concept of a bus stop. Like a bus stop would be like a phone booth. Just be like, what, Dad, what's that?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you said, you probably still need a route for it to be efficient. Otherwise, it's no different than, like, say, an Uber that just happens to carry a lot of people at a time. And that would get really annoying for the other people.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably still need a bus route, but you don't need bus stops along the way. Just anybody who happens to be on that route can just push the button or pull out the app on their phone and say, hey, next time you come through, pick me up.
Yep. And speaking of Uber, they hinted that they were going to kind of get into competition with Uber by deploying their own fleets in areas where there was more demand than there were Tesla owners. So it seems pretty clear. There's definitely some wiggle room the way it was worded, but it seems pretty clear that they're going to get into not just that they see the possibility of a post-ownership trend.
Yeah, this is interesting to me because in a way, this whole you buy it, but then it gets you kind of rent it out to other people when you're not using it. It kind of sounds like, isn't that the whole way SolarCity works?
Funny you should mention SolarCity.
You pay a monthly fee to have these solar cells on your house, and then when you're not using the electricity, it's, you know, we get it.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of how that works?
Kind of. And I don't know if you know this, but they I don't know if they bought them, but they're trying to merge the two. Tesla is buying SolarCity.
Yeah, I suspected they were. Hasn't Musk been on the board for SolarCity like forever?
Yeah.
Isn't he one of the principal owners to begin with?
Yeah, his cousin, I think, is the founder.
Mm.
I forgot to mention one of the things that they're going to do on the cars, one of the goals of the master plan, a full top level bullet point, is that they're going to make beautiful solar roofs to just charge it while it's driving.
Yeah, just let it soak up the sunlight.
Right. So like all that time that you're driving around, assuming it's sunny, of course, you are going to be charging up the battery. And the whole SolarCity thing and the battery wall, and I mean, like, if it wasn't called a master plan, that's what everyone would call it.
Right.
You know, plot to dominate the world, I guess.
Right. If Elon Musk returns evil genius, we're going to be in trouble.
Seriously. Some would argue that perhaps he is, but I think all those people work at GM. Yeah. So it was, I'm like, wow, that is, it seems to be happening faster than I would expect something like this to happen slower, but it seems to be happening faster. Like it seems to be picking up steam, the idea and the reality. Like, so the idea has been around for a long time, but all of a sudden it's like, oh, Teslas are actually on the road. They're actually, you know, this autopilot.
They have their beta version of their autopilot. And
yeah, and there's like videos of people online just like freaking out because they're on the highway and not touching, the car's driving itself.
Right, yeah. I think Tesla has the ability to sort of advance with their version of the self-driving vehicle and this whole plan probably faster. I feel like they'll advance faster than Google is doing. I don't know. I mean, Google's at a point now where their cars are, I feel like they're more proven and more safe and more accurate and that sort of thing. But you still can't go out and buy one.
I think what's going to happen with the Google cars is that they're going to get purchased by municipalities or large organizations. So, you know, because they don't have a retail footprint. Like they don't have a way to sell cars. And this was
right.
And Tesla had a hard time with that, or at least that was the news, that when they were trying to sort of roll out dealerships, it wasn't just like opening a store somewhere. It's actually kind of complicated. I don't remember what the story was exactly, but they were getting some kind of flack in the New York area about not being able to sell cars the way they wanted to. I can't remember what it was, but people who sold traditional cars gave them a hard time and I believe took them to court. I wish I could remember what it was, but we could follow up with that maybe next week. But yeah, so I guess the timeline is the interesting thing. Like I'm saying, it's moving faster, but the at least the Tesla plan, in the plan it says, let me get the actual number, that they need to drive 10 billion kilometers because the hardware is already there. And what they need to do is they just have to teach it.
Improve the software.
Right. And it's going to take 10 billion. Yeah, it was 10 billion kilometers of driving, and they're in the current fleet, at the current size of all Teslas on the road, is doing 5 million kilometers a day.
Oh, wow.
Right. And so if you do the math, that comes out to something like 5.5 years if the current fleet, air quotes, stays the same size. So if all Teslas on the road remain static, then it would take 5 years. But they sold like double the Model 3s that they ever sold with the Model S, or, you know, like way more.
Yeah, it's going to grow.
Right. So it's going to the acceleration, the velocity is going to increase, which is just awesome, because that means that I'll be able to buy a self-driving Tesla before Cooper gets his license.
Yeah, you'll be able to get, I might be able to buy, well, no, I won't be able to get one before Kira gets her license, but close.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, you could get a Tesla now and it would already be, five times safer than regular driving.
Right.
So I'm super excited by this. I think this is so cool. It's going to, assuming that this pans out, and again, we're talking about a guy who figured out how to land a rocket on a boat. So like, let's shoot this into space and then throw it into reverse.
And land it on a little tiny boat.
Out in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's doable.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that everyone claims that Musk is anti-artificial intelligence, when that's exactly what you're going to need to have self-driving cars that are safe.
Yeah, we should talk about that. We should talk about that next week.
Okay.
In our artificial intelligence episode, because there's been a lot of news there too.
Yeah, there has been.
Cool. All right. Should we wrap it up?
Yeah, we can do that. Wrap it up, and then our first episode back for season 3.
Yes. Welcome back.
Yeah, I feel a little rusty.
Yeah. Sorry, people. We're getting our legs back under us, our sea legs. What do you mean about it?
What? About it?
All right, that's definitely it. That's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to support Terrifying Robot Dog? Just think of two friends who would dig the show and send them to terrifyingrobotdog.com for links to iTunes, Facebook, and RSS feeds. If you don't have two friends, you can still help us by leaving a nice review in iTunes. Thanks a lot.